Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. And today, I would say that most Christians, you know, if you've ever read the Bible, you believe that there is a Holy Spirit. You know, we wouldn't argue that, but most of the time we live like He doesn't exist. And it is He, not it. Real important piece there. We try to fight spiritual battles on our own human strength. We try to overcome sin with our willpower. Doesn't work out very well. Some of us have strong willpower. Some of us, it works well for a season, but it does not give us what we're looking for. But we do it again and again. Just like the proverb, like a dog returns to its vomit, his own vomit. And like, I have one of those dogs. I don't know why, you know, it happens. And he's like, I'm going to try that again. We're the same way. We're like, we blew it again, and we think to ourselves, how can I be stronger this time? How can I fight better this time? Jesus never intended His disciples to follow Him without power. The Christian life was never meant to be sustained by your strength, your discipline, or your effort alone. Today, we're going to be in Acts 2, 13 verses. I'm going to give you a little bit more, but our primary is Acts 2, 1 through 13. It shows us what happens when ordinary people are filled with the Spirit of God. Fearful men become bold witnesses. Weak people become powerful instruments in the hand of God. And the same Spirit that filled the early church is still available for us today. And I understand that we have all different biblical church denomination backgrounds, and sometimes just the mention of the Holy Spirit freaks you out a little bit. And I'm okay with that. I promise that I will try not to do anything that will freak you out today. Try being, some of y'all that don't know me, you're like, what is, I promise. But I do promise one thing. There's no good sustainable life with Christ without the Holy Spirit. And if you continue to ignore or avoid, you will continue to get all the same things that you got before. And all I want to do today is to tell you exactly what Jesus told His disciples. Wait. Wait for God to deliver what He's promised. And if you haven't received it, now let's just get theological here for a second. If you are His son or daughter, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? But there's a big difference between having the guarantee of our inheritance, that seal in us, and being attentive to it, Him. I cut my finger yesterday, serving with manna. I bleed for this church. And you know what? I'm sensitive to this finger, and I like to put my hands in my pocket sometimes. And every time I put my hand in my pocket, I feel that cut because it's sensitive. And what you're going to see today is when the Holy Spirit showed up, a sensitivity happened that changed people's hearts. That's all I want to do. I want us to help us move into this place that we become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the work of the Holy Spirit, and be patient enough to wait. Because let me tell you, we can take a survey of the Bible. Nothing good comes from us rushing the things of God. Ask Abraham and Ishmael. I mean, it's over and over again. Ask Saul, who basically lost his kingdom because he would not wait for Samuel to show back up and do the sacrifice. So he thought he could manipulate God. And some of us do that with the Holy Spirit. We just think, if we do the right thing, we have the right incense, and we do this right thing, then we can get God to do what we want. No. God does what he desires and what he wants because he's leading. We need to be sensitive to what he's doing. Let's pray. Father, I'm just going to say a bunch of words unless you show up. There may be a little bit of conviction to it. There may be a little bit of, ooh, I should do that. But Lord, unless you show up, change doesn't happen. And so Lord, today, will you for us, Lord, would you pour out just like the rain that's coming right now? Lord, we need refreshing. There's broken and hurting people in this room that need to feel your presence, that need to know your love, and to know that you are the stable force that stays with us through it all. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're unfamiliar with Acts 2, which we're going to be in, I'm going to kind of lay some groundwork. And I say this a lot. Anytime you're preaching, anytime you're reading, context is key. You do not take a section of Scripture outside of the totality of what it's written in, the book and then the Bible that it's written in. But leading up to what happens in Acts 2, Jesus appears on the scene, sent by God, Son of God, born of a virgin, and he does what the original human, Adam, was intended to do, to live a sinless life. We failed, unable to do that. Jesus comes and delivers what he needed from us. He lives a perfect life, revealing himself to be the Son of God by the showing of his miracles, by the preaching of his word, by the knowledge that he had. During Passover, Jesus went to the cross as the Lamb of God and died for our sin. Now, there's three feasts that we're going to talk about today. And you're like, what is Pentecost? I'm going to do my best to explain. But here's where it started. It started for Passover. Okay, let me give you a little explanation, because sometimes we hear words and we're like, okay, Passover, yeah, that's great, blah, 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 blah. Okay, hundreds of years before Jesus shows up on the scene, the people of God were in slavery. God frees them from that slavery. The last plague that happened was the death of the firstborn. But God tells his people, hey, it's going to come through this night. And if you want your firstborn to not also suffer the same consequences, you sacrifice the lamb and you put his blood on the lentils. And then that spirit that's going to take the firstborn is going to pass over. And so for generations after this, they're celebrating Passover. They're celebrating what God did. And Jesus didn't haphazardly die on Passover. He was demonstrating that from the beginning, his intention was to be the sacrificial lamb. And that's what he did. On Passover, he died for our sin. 3 days later, on the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. Okay? And then Jesus, after his resurrection, spends 40 days appearing to his disciples and teaching them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. And then he tells them, wait. And he does, and if you read through the Gospels and you ever see this happen because, usually it's because there's something written hundreds of years before this actually happened that he fulfilled. And one of those is that Jesus ascended before them. So he tells them these things. And remember our text last week. He said, what if you see him ascending? Because remember he said last week, if you don't eat my flesh or drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And they're like, this is a hard teaching. We're not going to do it. But what if you see him ascending? Because they understood that that language meant something. This was the Son of God. This would prove who he is. So not only that, but they see him raise up into the clouds. And I love this. They're like, then he's gone and some angels show up and he's like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Why are y'all looking? Hello? Why are y'all looking up to the sky? And for 10 days, they pray. If you've been joining with us, the reason why we've been doing these 10 days is because it leads up to Pentecost today. For 10 days they prayed because Jesus said, wait. Everything that he said would happen would happen. He said, hey, I'm going to send my spirit. Do not leave the city until my spirit shows up. And this is where we're going to pick up, where we're going to go. I'm going to tell you, this is in Acts 1. I'm going to give you two verses before we get into Acts 2. Acts 1, it says, I'll read the other 13 in a second. Okay. Acts 1, 4 and 5, it says, while they were with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wait is the four-letter word that no one likes. Who likes waiting? Whoever looks down the line, I went to Walmart the other day, I don't do that very often, they've got tons of lanes, there's no waiting, and there was like a line to get into that queue where you could check out yourself, I mean a long line, and no one walks into a place and go, I want the longest line, I want to wait the longest time. You don't drive down the road going, ooh, this, like, maybe you're like me, like, I don't want to get behind that slow person. Yes, I'm going to get there 2.5 seconds before them, but I beat them. We don't like to wait. And he tells them, wait, because this was a command of the Savior. Okay, so we're going to get into these 13 verses. I mean, I have a kind of large print Bible, but it's not that large, so I could use this. Yeah, we know. Okay, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read the 13, then we're going to go through them. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem. I'm gonna get my cheat sheet right here, because you know me in pronouncing words. There's some words in here. Now there dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews devout from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each of one heard them speaking in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished. Saying, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes? Here I got my cheat sheet. And I get up here, I practice these words, I promise. It fails me every time. See, I shouldn't even say anything. I should say them. Most of you don't care how they're pronounced, but I do. Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, I can mess that one up, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we heard them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and we are amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, they are filled with new wine. All right, are y'all ready? Doesn't matter. I'm going to go anyway. Okay. Now I got all my things messed up because I wanted to pronounce these words correctly. Okay, there we go. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Did you know this? Do you know what Pentecost means? 50. It means 50th because it happened 50 days after Passover. Man, we learn stuff at church. At Passover, the lamb was slain. At first fruits, which was that feast 3 days later, the Savior rose. At Pentecost, the Spirit came. By this moment in history, there was a connection to God giving the law of Sinai during Pentecost. Why does that matter? God is doing something greater. At Sinai, this is where he gave the law, God gave his people the written law on stone tablets, but this time he's going to write it on hearts of his children. And you're like, that sounds great. Well, it sounds even better if you know Ezekiel 36, 26. You don't know it? Great. It's going to be on the screen, and I'll also read it. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Okay. Let's just say this. And for those that are reading the one year Bible, you're in it. In Psalms 119, in it. It's the longest psalm there is, and you're going to be seeing it for a couple of days, but it is all about walking out his statutes, all about doing it. And you cannot do it without a changed heart. We have hearts of stone that cannot do what is necessary. We can't love people the way that God intends. We can't pray for our enemies. We can't turn the other cheek. We cannot do any of the things that God commands us to do without this transformation. And what he's saying here is God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to remove this heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh that lives within us so that we can. You can't. Like, if you're trying without the work and power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to God, you will only go so far. Some of you, I know, you're hard-headed. You're like, I can do it. You don't know me. Because here's what happens. Even if you kind of successfully avoid that one sin, pride will probably get you in the end. You know what I'm saying? You get to the end of it and be like, I have not looked, I have not drank, I have not, fill in the blank, whatever that thing is. But then you start telling people, and then pride robs it all from you. You're like, look how good I am. And then you tell all those other people that are sinners, that are struggling with things, if you could just be like me. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you'd be like me. I'm saying without the work of the Holy Spirit. See, the disciples were united, obedient and waiting just as Jesus commanded. Look, they're saved. Their sins have been forgiven. Jesus died on the cross, and they could have ran out and been like, we're going to conquer the world. We're going to do what we're going to do. They didn't do any of that. They waited. No more fighting about who is greatest. No more mom coming to Jesus and be like, hey, can you put my son, one on the right, one on the left? They've been humbled and humiliated, and they're finally ready for what God has for them. Look, God doesn't want to humble or humiliate you just to be mean. But some of us, that's the only way we move forward. Some of us, that's the only place that we get to that we're finally ready to listen because we're hard-headed and we're strong-willed and we have our ideas, and sometimes he has to bring us to this place. And they did that. And the thing that he was saying to the disciples, wait, because I need you ready. And here's the question for you this morning. Are you ready? Are you willing to say, I'm messing this up? Like, even if you're 10 times better than you were before, without the Holy Spirit, you will not get all the things that God wants for you, the change that you need. Verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Here's something you need to hear. Somebody in this room needs to know this. God moves on his own timing. They didn't know. They weren't like, hey, no worries. We got 10 days. It's going to be on Pentecost. God said to wait. They see him ascend, and they waited. I'm sure after day one, they're like, it's coming. Some of you right now are like, he promised he was going to return, and it's been a long time. God moves on his own timing. they had been in that room waiting and praying for 10 days. Some of us were over it in 10 minutes. 10 days. 10 days ago, they saw their risen Lord ascend into the cloud from heaven. This is one thing he wants to make sure. This isn't just like some natural phenomenon that's happening and it just gets windy. It gets windy here and you'll be like, oh, okay. From heaven. This was a gift promised by the Father. Mighty Russian wind. Wind typically symbolized life, power, movement, and the breath of God. See, what God begins in the Spirit cannot be accomplished by human strength. We, the flesh people, ruin what God intends. Let me just tell you, God didn't intend for ministries to fail. God didn't intend for pastors to act like idiots and commit adultery and steal from their churches. Do you think that was the Spirit of the living God? Do you think they were living in that place with the Spirit, that sensitivity? No, they somehow, somewhere entered into the flesh. Verse 3, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Fire in Scripture often represents God's presence, His holiness, purification, which sometimes is painful, and power. Examples, if you remember this, what happened with Moses? What did he see? He saw fire that didn't consume this bush in a voice of God. When God freed them from Egypt, what did they see? They were led every day by a pillar of fire. By day the cloud, and at night the pillar of fire. Even in the darkness, there was this light. And they also saw the fire come down on Mount Sinai. Fire represented God's power. And then tongues of fire, the gospel is about to go public. Rested on each of them. This was not just for those 12, those special ones. This is for all of the believers that were present in the room. The Spirit wasn't poured out on a stage. It was poured out on people. And it's still happening. It's happening all around the world, not in places just where we have power and amplification. It's happening probably in other countries more than here because they're desperate. Because they know that they don't have the power to accomplish. I think some of the most dangerous things for Americans is we have this idea that we can do it. You can't. Every time, look, most of your heartache and most of your pain is because you or someone else wasn't sensitive, wasn't walking with the Spirit. Most of your pain, just do an inventory real quick of the dumbest moments of your life. Were you walking to please God? Were you like, man, this is awesome. Like, I love Jesus. No, it was like, just a little bit of whatever. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a promise out of Joel 28 that at one point, afterwards, like when these things come to be, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. This, literally, when it says speak in other tongues, they were speaking in real, known languages. I don't have time to get into all the tongue stuff, but in this moment, they were speaking languages that were being interpreted by people that heard their own language. And we'll talk about why that's important in just a second. What did the Holy Spirit show up to do? To proclaim the gospel to the nations. A lot of times we want the Holy Spirit for our own doing. Like, I want you to do this for me, Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit shows up for one thing. To move you or His kingdom forward in the kingdom. He doesn't show up so you can get those winning numbers for the lottery. He doesn't show up so that, you know, like, and God loves you. Like, think about you through the lens of your child. Like, some of the things they ask are dumb, but you still love them. You're like, oh, are you still my kid? But when you ask the things that please the Father, He is ready to show up. Why is this important? The next verse is going to answer that question for us. The first thing God changed was their tongues. And we know that our tongues are connected to our heart. Out of the overflow of our heart, what happens? Our mouth speaks. The first thing that the Holy Spirit did was get a hold of here. And let me just tell you, some of us are showing how little the Holy Spirit is living in us by what comes out of our mouth. In those tense moments, not in the easy, comfortable moments, but like when it ain't going your way, when things go wrong, when that person cuts in front of you, all these things, we got to be careful of what's flowing out of our mouth. And so, well, this is why it's important. Verse 5, it says, Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound, so not just in this room, but there was a loud enough sound that the multitudes were like, what is this? And the multitudes came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Pentecost was a major pilgrimage feast. Some people would have come for Passover and stayed during that whole 50 days for this, not just here, but to celebrate this together in their Holy Land. So Jerusalem was packed with Jews and proselytes. That was a non-Jew convert. It was somebody that wasn't by birth a Jew, but he decided to follow Judaism, and he's a convert to that, and worshipers from all nations. Before sending the gospel into the nation, God gathered the nations to Jerusalem. And you're thinking, man, this is neat. Look what happened. Look at this. For 1,500 years, God had been preparing this feast for this day. For 1,500 years, they had been celebrating this as a people. And they've been thinking every year, oh, this is cool, we get. And we're thinking about the harvest and the first fruits, which Jesus was the first fruits. The disciples showed like what came after that first fruit, more fruit. But for 1,500 years, God had been preparing a people to be present in this one moment. And the idea here is they were from all over the nation, from north and south and east and west. This wasn't just about hearing, it was about understanding. These people loved God enough that they were there to celebrate these feasts to remember who God was and how good God was. Because this was a work of God. God has been working, preparing in advance for us to walk into. Look at what happened when they let God work. What was impossible days, weeks, and years before was now possible because of one element. The Holy Spirit. The disciples, let's just say this, and they can be mad at me later, were losers. Because all of us were like, if we spent 3 years with Jesus, like we'd be superstars. Like we would be like, we would have never ran. We would have never. There's all these things that we put ourselves in those things and we were like, no. They weren't. Remember, 50 days before this, they were running, hiding, and lying. That's what they were doing. And you know who told them they were going to do that? Jesus. Jesus said, what? Y'all are going to all desert me. No, we're not. We will die for you. We're your boys, like we're here. I mean, at least Peter pulled out a sword. It didn't go very well for him. But something changed. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these Galileans speaking? I'm gonna make this North Carolina speech. These were rednecks. There's not a lot of expectation for rednecks to be like, come on, they're from the country. They don't know anything. The idea is they were uneducated. They were common. They weren't sophisticated. They were blue-collar guys. And they're thinking, they didn't go to school to study, to know these languages, these obscure languages that were there for this one moment. The people knew that something miraculous was happening. And the miracle wasn't just that the people heard different languages. It's that God used ordinary Galileans to proclaim His greatness. The miracle was not about drawing attention to these disciples. It was about making the gospel understandable for nations. So stop making excuses of why God can't use you. Some of us are like, well, I don't know enough. And like these disciples didn't know enough either. I don't know. Like we have the record of his sermon, of what he said, which I'm going to skip today, and I'm going to talk about a verse after that. But I bet if we heard the sermon today, we'd be like, oh yeah, great information. And that's the difference between real, truthful information in the work and power of God. Because he preached a sermon that they'd probably heard, that Jesus had been telling, but something was different. Verse 8. And how is it that each of us here, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya that belong to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Luke lists many nations to emphasize that this is a worldwide scope of the gospel. Spirit-filled people make much of God, not of themselves. They weren't there. They weren't even thinking like, man, we're going to build a church. We're going to raise money to build buildings. They weren't thinking any of this. All they were doing is that people need Jesus, and they proclaimed his goodness. Spirit-filled people make much of God. See, the disciples began speaking in languages they have never learned, and people from every nation heard of the mighty works of God in their own language. Hear this. Pentecost, I'm going to get some Old Testament stuff right here. Pentecost becomes the reversal of Babel. So, at the beginning, Babel, the Tower of Babel, if you remember the story, they wanted to build this great tower so they could reach the heavens and they could connect with God. And God confused them with multiple languages and they had to go away because they're like, we don't understand each other anymore. This, Pentecost, is the reversal of that, because at Babel, language is divided people and scattered nation. At Pentecost, God used language to unite people through the gospel. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, says, they are filled with new wine. There are two experiences this day. One was amazement that led to belief, and the other was mockery that moved to unbelief. If this happened on day one, it should not shock you that it happens today. Because we remember that the Father is the one that draws people to himself. There will always be people, even when God shows up. Some of those people that rejected this and be like, man, are they drunk? They had seen the miracles of Jesus. They understood things about Jesus and they still reject what's happening. And then Peter preaches the first sermon of the church. And here's the response a couple of verses later in Acts 2:37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to their and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. See, the church is not built on talent. It is born in the power of the Spirit. So here's the question for you this morning. What are you building with? Many of us, you're doing your best. I talk to people, they're like, man, I'm reading my one-year Bible. You're doing all the things. And many of us are still missing piece of what God wants to do in and through us. And all I'm saying is, wait. Be patient for what God is trying to accomplish. See, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit did not come to make much of himself. He came to point people to Jesus. The Spirit came because the Son had finished the work. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, ascended, and now pours out His Spirit on His people. The Christian life was never intended to be lived in our own strength. God commands believers to walk in the Spirit, be filled in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and to live under the power of the Spirit. I'm going to give you a few verses, just in case you're thinking, oh man, this was just something that happened on this one day. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says this, "Do not be drunk with much wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." This is written in present tense with continuous action. See, our language, sometimes in English, we don't get all the things that were intended in the original language, but that wasn't just be filled, like, okay, like fill my cup and I have a full cup and it's always full. Be filled. It literally says, and this sounds like bad English, but work with me here, be being filled. Keep being filled. I look at it, and this is I had one of my buddies say, you know, not a great illustration, but I'm going to continue to say it. I look at it like we're a leaky vessel. Maybe you got filled with the Spirit once. We need to be being filled all the time. And he would say, not necessarily a leaky vessel, but God pours out His Holy Spirit in our lives almost always so that things in His kingdom move forward. All the actions that you see here, two chapters later in Acts 2, you see what? They were terrified because they were being persecuted. They go to the upper room again and they pray and the room shakes and they're filled again and they're given what? Boldness to continue preaching. Galatians 5:16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." Galatians 6, verse 8, it says, "For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." I'm going to invite our worship team back up. Are you being filled? Today is the day to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take communion together. And hopefully, we did have, I do know of one person that did sit on their cup. Sorry, when we have nice fancy church and chairs, we'll have it somewhere else and you won't have to move it from your seat. But now, this is what we have. And you may look at this and you're like, well, who is this for? And here, if you're new to Reach, the key element to this is that you are a child of God. If you've said yes to Jesus, then that gave you access to this. And so Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He broke bread and passed it around. This is before they even knew about the cross. And He said, "This is my body that has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then He poured out the wine after the supper. And He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant where the forgiveness of sins comes." And so He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." One of the things that we do to be reminded, not only can you not live in this life faithfully, walk out the things that God has for you without the Holy Spirit, but you can't get into the kingdom without the work of Jesus on the cross. And so what I would like for us to do, we do this every Sunday that we do communion, is we're going to have a song right now that's going to go after I pray. And I don't want you to rush into this. Paul says to kind of figure out what's going on in you. If there's sin going on in your life, confess it. And what I'd like for you to do today as you take communion, if the struggle is, man, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is just ask for God to move. If you need to overcome sin, if you need a repair in your marriage, it's not going to necessarily come by greater, harder work. It's going to come from a heart that has been softened by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, you're the one that gives life. You're the one that sets free. And in this room right now, there are those that sin is overwhelming, that they're losing the battle, but they don't want to. And they're broken because of life choices. They're broken because of things that are happening to them that are out of their control. And right now, they need the power of your Spirit to move. And so, Lord, we want you. And so, Lord, as we take communion together, as we honor you with our lives, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? For all of those in this room that say, I'm missing something. I need more of you and less of me, Lord. Would you pour out your Spirit today? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak a blessing over you, and we're going to worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.